Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad that you are with us today. We have got a great three-week series that I'm going to be doing with my brother and my best friend and my and a 721 board member, Irv Philpott. Welcome to the studio, Irv.
So glad to be here, Sam.
I'm so glad to have you. And we are going to be talking about the American system of dating and how broken it is. And we're going to get to that in just a second. Let me just remind you, 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries, and you can hear all about us, you can read all about us. Just go to the website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. There's a lot of different things on there, past radio shows. There's a Putting Green blog that is a sort of a write-up of a lot of the different things we talk about and teach about and preach about. Check us out on that website, www.721ministries.org. It's Friday. Push back on all the distractions you have, all the different things that are running around in your mind, because we've really got something very important to talk about today. And I'm so glad to have Irv in the studio with us, because this is something that's so dear to his heart. Today, and for the next two shows after this, for the next three shows, we're going to be talking about courting. And I mean by that dating on purpose, dating for a reason, as opposed to just dating just to date. And we're going to talk about the problems with dating just to date and what the ramifications, what happens. You see, there's a God-created reason why we seek intimacy. We seek intimacy, and we're created to seek intimacy. It's part of God's design for us. But the current American dating system is so broken, it does not lead us to that intimacy. It will rarely, if ever, give us a glimpse of the fulfillment of the intimacy that God's design is really set up for us. Instead of intimacy, we end up with people who are so scarred and so broken and carry so much baggage that they are most often incapable of any kind of healthy intimacy when they become adults and are looking to get married. And believe me, I see it and I deal with it in what I do all the time. As a matter of fact, I am it. Because of the way I went through the American dating system. Irv, can you relate to that?
Amen. I certainly can.
So for the next, today, we're gonna look at the American dating system, and we're going to demonstrate to you how broken it is. Because if you don't get on board with us as to just how devastatingly broken it is, the rest of what we're going to talk about, because next week we're going to, again, take another look at the state of dating, and especially teen dating and what it leads to. And then the third week, and you really want to make sure you stay with us this whole time, we're going to give you an alternative to the current American dating system of how boys meet girls and girls meet boys and how boys and girls meet. Because if we don't give you an alternative, then just slamming it doesn't do us any good. So, Irv, let's rethink. Let's stop and think. Let's rethink how boys and girls meet.
I'm with you. And again, as you said, this is something so near and dear to my heart. I hope I can stay in the seat here.
Okay. And now, you were showing me some statistics about marriage. Give me those, please, to get started with.
Yeah, we want to start out with these facts, these statistics, because I think, again, what they begin to tell us is how broken this American system of dating is. And if you go back in history, you start out with the fact that up until 1948, there was not even such a thing as divorce in the state of South Carolina. Now, you know, people don't even, and I want you to remember that date, because that becomes very important when you see the connection to that of where the American system of dating began, because it's not nearly as old as one might think. Mm. The second thing is that is so devastating is that marriage is actually on the decline in the United States. As a matter of fact, we understand now at this point, if you are married, you're a part of a minority group. Mm. And that's something that's very recent to happen. The next thing, and here's where I think the rubber really hits the road, and it gets awfully upsetting to think about the fact that out of 10 marriages in the United States, 5 to 6 of those are going to end in divorce in the first 10 years, which is just hard to believe. But we see it all around us. And then lastly, and I think this is the part where, as we've talked about, I really feel like it hurts God's heart. If you look at those 4 or 5 marriages that are remaining, how many of those would you estimate are together as a matter of appearance only? Mm-hmm. And I know, Brother Sam, that you and I, in working with men all over, we deal with this on a daily basis, that we see in the men's eyes, you know, a dejection oftentimes and I've given up. Mm-hmm. It's not worth the effort.
It's not worth the effort.
And in that regard, what we would estimate really is maybe about 1 out of 10 are on that level that God had planned for us in the beginning. And again, what we say is there's something wrong here.
Something's broken.
Something is terribly, terribly wrong. It's broken. God's design, as he shows us in Genesis chapter 2, is a leaving, a cleaving of the man and woman together, that they become one flesh, that they're naked and not ashamed. That is a type of intimacy that is just so rare to see in 2010. We believe strongly, very strongly. Mm-hmm. As I say, you may have to push me back down in this chair, that this problem is rooted in the way boys and girls meet.
In the first place.
The American system of dating is broken.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I, when you talk about marriages that are just existing together because they don't want to get a divorce, they've given up. There's no joy because there is no intimacy. And they're just two partners going along. We see it over and over and over. And like you can trace it back to all the baggage that they bring in. Now, let me read a couple of statistics, because we started off telling you about the broken state of marriage, which we really didn't need to, because everybody knows that. And you know, you say one out of the remaining four or five are actually happy. Out of all the couples that I know, I really can get it down to maybe just one hand. I might could stretch it out to 10 fingers if I tried to give the benefit of the doubt of couples that I know that actually like each other and actually enjoy each other. Yeah. and actually have anything close to what God wants.
And what is so important about that is it's that love relationship that is the hub of the whole family. And if that is not clicking along, as we'd say, a 7, 8, 9 out of 10, then the rest of the family is going to suffer. And thus, our entire society.
And there we go. All right. We started with marriage, how broken it is. We didn't even have to tell you that, but just to give you those facts. Let me read to you, Irv, a couple of things about dating that will just shake you to your core. When do you start dating in America? The American system of dating, when do you start dating? And let me just tell you about what the studies have shown. If you start a certain age, what's your percentage of who will become intimate, who will have sex, let's just say that, who will have sex before they graduate from high school? If you start dating at 12, 91%.
Wait just 1 minute, Sam. Did you say start dating at 12?
I did.
The fact that there's even a statistic on that should tell us something.
That should tell us something. And, you know, that dating, it may just look like two 12-year-olds going to the movies together.
Right.
But, and somebody already is going, are you going to tell me there's something wrong with that? Just listen to the information. Don't even judge us. Just let the facts. If you start dating at 12, 91% will be intimate, will have sex before they graduate from high school. If you start at 13, it drops to 56%. At 14, it's still hovering at 53%. 15, 40%, 16, 20%. You have taken that almost certainty and knocked it way back to 20% at 16.
So you started at 91%.
You started at 91 and you ran it down to 20, but we're going to even say at 16, do you really want the 20% over the last decade, they've continued to do these studies among teens who are sexually active. They've started using the rates of contraceptive use, including condoms, by the way, have increased. And a third of them, 34% of young women, become pregnant at least once before they reach the age of 20. That's about 820,000 a year, and approximately 4 million teens contracting a sexually transmitted disease. The percentage of high school students who have had sexual intercourse increases by each grade, and it just keeps going up and up. It is scary, and it all boils back to the American system of dating is broken.
It's absolutely broken. It leaves us to a situation where what we find when we talk with Christian counselors is that at this point, the Christian counselors spend one half of their time trying to convince teens, young adults, unmarrieds not to have sex, and the other half
of their time,
they spend trying to teach or encourage marriage to have sex.
Say that, and let's make sure that you heard this.
Yeah, we got to process through that. This is from some study that was done by, again, Dean and Barbara Rainey, who we're going to talk about a little bit more later, some books and articles that they've written. But when they poll Christian counselors in America, they will tell you, the majority, that they spend half of their time trying to convince teens, young adults, unmarrieds not to have sex. And then the other half of their time, they spend trying to convince marriage to have sex. Because, you see, they're dealing with the baggage, the scars.
Yeah.
That they have brought with them into the marriage from what this broken American system of dating has done.
And I will take that one step further. If you're a single adult post-marriage, if you're divorced, it's a leper colony out there. And I'm going to do another show at the end of this about that. It's a leper colony because everybody's so scarred up from the sexual encounters that they're having after marriage. They bring it into the marriage, and then when they get out, it's a kind of a funny joke that they talk about. You bring a management consultant in, and he looks at your business, and he does a great study on your business, and he comes back because you're not happy with the results that you've got going in your business, and he does this long study and charges $15,000, and he comes back and he says, your current system is perfectly designed to render the results you're now getting. And that is exactly what this American dating system is doing. Teen pregnancies, STDs, repeated broken relationships, leaving scars that inhibit finding a marriage partner, or starting the marriage off without this unnecessary and unneeded baggage. But Irv, wouldn't you say that most of us kind of have accepted that the baggage is just part of it?
I don't think there's any question about that in the conversations that we have with the men. And also when we start, if you just come up to somebody on the street and start telling them about this plan that you and I are going to talk about in show number 3.
Dating on purpose.
At first, they'll say, well, that's not even a possibility. Mm-hmm. I guess you're talking about some medieval discussion.
Right. Maybe the Quakers up in Pennsylvania or something.
Possibly so. Yeah. It's like they think there's no other option. Mm-hmm. And that somehow this baggage is a necessary, just part of growing up.
Just part of growing up.
Which, again, we say, absolutely not.
Stop and think. Let's rethink the way we have been dating.
And how boys and girls meet.
When we come back for the second part of the show, we're going to spend a lot more time talking about this, and I don't want to run you out of time right now. So give me just a quick thought about how long has this current dating system been in place? I mean, because we, like you just said, we all assume this is our only option. Has this been here since America was founded?
Right, and that's so important to understand. We're talking about the 1950s. We're really talking about 50, maybe 60 years ago that this whole system was introduced. Again, this idea of you look good, I look good, see you at 8, and that we just simply...
Just
the two of us alone in a car at night, that we go off by ourselves at, 12, 13, 14? Mm-hmm. These statistics you just read to me say that time. It's crazy.
It's only been around for 50 years, yet we accept it as if it's... It's it. It's the only alternative. It's what it is all about. We're gonna just say, where do you look for guidance on this? Where can you find a model? Not at TV, not in the movies, not with what everybody else around you is doing. We're going to try to give you that model, and there's so much more to talk about. More straight ahead. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second half of 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad you're listening. I've got my great friend and brother, Irv Philpott, in the studio with us, and we're talking about the American system of dating and how broken it is, and what are the ramifications of the brokenness of this, of how boys and girls meet. I'm glad you're with us. Pay attention. This is so important, and we're going to keep building over this show, the next show, and the third show about this system, and is there an alternative? Irv, when did this really light up for you? Because until you started talking about it with so much heart, I'd never really given it thought that there was another way to do it. Tell me about that.
Right. Well, Sam, again, you know, I want to start out by saying in March of 2003, as we've discussed before on some other radio shows, God came and Jesus saved my life. A lot of what I was dealing with before that were really the scars that my wife and I had from our pre-marriage, you know, the dating experience. And
the American dating experience. You just like me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And again, in that regard, that's really what God used to wake me up, to see that I couldn't work it out on my own. Mm-hmm. That I had to be flat on my back in that regard to see Him, and praise the Lord for that. But when I came home and I began looking at the Scripture and reading it and seeing these messages that were there that were so clear, I came to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, and it just stopped me in my tracks. Can I read that to you?
Yes, please.
It just says, flee from sexual immorality. all other sins a man commits are sexually, or, excuse me, are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And when we began to study that scripture, and I began to realize that, first of all, very simply, and not just from this scripture, but all through the Bible, it tells us very clearly that sex is for married people. Now, let's say that one more time. Sex is for married people. There's no way you can read the scripture and not understand that message.
And is that because God wants to prohibit us from having fun?
Absolutely not. And again, God created sex. Sex is a good thing, a very good thing. And you know, we've heard that story that Andy Stanley tells, that when God was doing all the creation, and then he said, stood back to the angels and said, "Hey, now watch this," and he created sex. Holy cow! Uh-huh. You know, it's a wonderful, great and wonderful thing, and God is not trying to prohibit. He's trying to protect us for his best. But his standard is purity. Go ahead.
And let's go back. Just say that one more time. His standard is purity, not because he's a prude, not because he doesn't want. He's not about prohibiting us. He's about protecting us. And the more we talk about what we're going to talk about today, that he's not saying don't have fun. He's saying have fun in the way I really created you to have fun, both before you ever get married, as kids, be kids, and then when you get married, now here's the really great thing I've got for you.
Great privilege. It is great privilege to be physically intimate with your mate. If it's within the confines of marriage, it is a great and wonderful thing, really a picture of Christ and his church. But in that regard, you get outside of those boundaries, and it's a blazing fire, as we're going to see. We've seen in the stats already. But again, with great privilege comes great responsibility. So I'm sitting there in March of 2003, about 8 years ago, and I'm sitting there thinking, I have a situation now where my oldest child, again, we've said I'm a father of seven, so proud of my two boys and my five daughters, and I'm sitting there, and my oldest child is 13 years old. And then, of course, obviously, stair steps from there down. Mm-hmm. And I make the realization that at age 12 and 13, of course, the hormones kick in, the interest in the opposite sex begins, all a good thing, a God-intended thing. But then you read the statistics that show you that the average marrying age in the United States is about 26 or 27.
Mm. So how do we get from one?
How do you get from 12 or 13 to age 26 or 27 and be pure on the wedding night? That's the question. Now, I love to think about it in this way. If you and I were to go out this weekend, and we probably will do this at some point, but we have a meeting at the church or some Christian conference, and we have a room full of 500 couples, mm-hmm. 500 couples, and they're here to hear this message. And we tell them, look, we can't guarantee you, but if you will come and think about and try to implement the plan that we think, that what God's Word tells us, that this plan might get you to the wedding night, and that be the first experience of physical intimacy for your child, how many of you guys want to sign up?
Oh, they'd knock us off the stage.
A thousand hands go up.
But does any, and I think the problem is, most people don't think there is a way for that to happen.
That's right. How do you get from 12 or 13 to that wedding night and be pure? And the answer is, you will not do that unless you have a plan.
A plan. And that plan cannot conform to the current American dating system.
Absolutely not.
It cannot.
Right. And you cannot, believe me, it's going to be a swimming upstream situation. And I have been going through this. My precious wife and I, with our seven kids, we're going to give you some stories. We've been going through this process over the last 8 years, and I promise you, it is swimming upstream.
Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt about it. You use an example that I think is very applicable about a shopping cart.
Oh, yes.
The idea of teenagers, right. Putting two teenagers in a car together,
right.
At night.
Oh, yes. What we're going to do, we're going to talk about several different books, but the first book we want to talk about that talks about that example you're talking about is I Kiss Dating Goodbye by Joshua Harris.
Yes.
And in that book, what Joshua opens up. He says, you know, really, the system that we have of you look good, I look good, see you at 8, off in a dark car by yourself, the idea that that's going to get you from 12 or 13 to 26, 27 and pure, that's like loading up a rickety old shopping cart and going into a crystal store, and they're very narrow, narrow aisles, and you load up that cart with a big bricks, something very heavy, and you're trying to navigate up and down those aisles. What's going to happen? That crystal's going to get broken. And when that crystal gets broken, Jesus Christ can put it back together, but there are scars. Again, the system, the American system of dating is broken.
Now, you give us a governing scripture as 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee sexual immorality. But we're talking about dating. We're not talking about sex. All right. Are you getting me off? Are you trying to get me off track here?
Right. No. What we're talking about is God gives us a great heads up here. He speaks into a culture through Paul that no one runs. Certainly no patriarch or male runs. And he says, flee. What he's telling you there is, I'm telling you up front, you can't handle this one. Mm-hmm. This is a blazing fire. You've got to set up boundaries that are so far back from the stove that even when you fall, which you will, nobody gets burned. It's going to take a plan.
But, and because as we know, and as you know, when you listen to this today, you know this is true. There is no such thing as innocent contact between a male and a female. And I've been sitting watching movies with a girl, my daughter even, and she said, did you notice that he put his hand on her shoulder?
I promise you, all physical contact between a male and female sends a message.
And so when you put two teenagers in a car together, alone, or anywhere else, there's going to be, eventually, that they're not going to be able to go any period of time without some physical contact. And it never goes backwards, does it, brother?
Always goes forward.
All right. So what we're saying is early dating and following the current American dating system, which is so broken, it is going to lead to sex. It is going to lead to sex.
We have the stats to prove it.
You are kidding yourself if you think you're the exception or that your children are going to be the exception. You came across an Allstate ad, which I thought was fascinating.
And you know, in terms of thinking about that putting the 16, 17, 18-year-old in a car alone, and we often say, what were they thinking? You know, someone ends up pregnant, mm-hmm. you know, or something, someone gets terribly hurt. Mm-hmm. And we say, what were they thinking? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer from this Allstate ad is they weren't.
They were incapable.
They didn't have the ability. Again, what this article shows us is that until you're in your 20s, the actual brain does not develop to a point that you can actually think through actions and consequences. Now listen to that. Until a child reaches into their 20s, they are actually not able to put actions and consequences
their
together.
Their brain hasn't developed to that point. It's not their fault.
Brain simply hasn't developed.
And Allstate is not talking about dating. This is talking about driving a car.
That's right. And I thought it was really interesting. At the end of the article, it says, let's help our teenagers not miss out tomorrow just because they're missing something today. And again, that's our challenge to you parents, is please stop and think. The American system of dating is broken, but there is a better way. And let's not have our children miss out on something tomorrow because they're missing something today. Mm-hmm. They're not capable of putting their actions and consequences together in this situation.
Just to put a fine point on that, the Allstate ad, it points out that insurance rates drop at age 25. There is a reason for that.
Absolutely.
Because until then, you really, that typical average person cannot put the consequences together. So in the next show, we're going to talk a little more about this whole idea of the current teen dating pattern and what are the ramifications, what are the pitfalls with that, and what is actually going on with that, and give a couple of stories. But we want to make sure that you understand we're not trying to come up with some crazy idea. We are fun people. We want our children to have fun. We want everybody to have fun. But it takes a blind fool to look at the current dating system in America and say, this is a good system.
There's a better way.
There's a better way. And this is not the way. And this will not lead you to God's best. And what we want to talk about in the next show is just give you another glimpse. We've talked about the statistics and we've talked about the absurdity, but we want to kind of just pull back the curtain and say, let's stop and think about what putting two teenagers in the car together at night, one-on-one, out somewhere in the dark, what that really looks like. What a great topic. You'll be back with me next week?
Can't wait.
Great. We'll talk more about this next week. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday. We'll never go.